That's it. Hit it. Here we are. The first ever Willpower Weightlifting Podcast, Episode 1. Welcome, viewer, to the Red Brick, where we are filming and recording the broadcast. Joining me this evening, Jordan Zakas.
Hello, everyone.
And Mr. Michael Farmer.
Hello.
Thanks, Mike. Just give a little background, Mike, upon yourself. Who are you?
I am a weightlifter of 5 years, and I have lifted for Wales and Great Britain and the Willpower.
Of course, the Willpower. Jordy, who are you?
I'm a weightlifter, also been lifting for quite a while, and I compete for Willpower, Wales and GB.
See, viewer, how they reversed the orders there.
Yes.
Do you want to put Willpower first, Mike last?
Matter of priority, isn't it, Mike?
Raz. So, this podcast is going to be a mixture of weightlifting and ramblings and any topic that we feel is relevant to the discussion point at hand. And so, well, I'm Justin Holly. I'm the broadcaster, coach, entrepreneur, raconteur, take your pick. And the first segue today is going to be about training music. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There it is.
Very relevant as well, isn't it?
Fucking right it is. All right, Johnny, training music. That was Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a banker, isn't it?
Banker.
And we've always been about good training music in the Willpower. It's a bit of a staple in it, Mike. It's something that it can make or break an atmosphere.
What's your tune, Mike? What's your tune?
My go-to tune?
Yeah.
Depends what day of the week it is, just like...
Well, it's fucking... What day is it? It's fucking Friday. What day? What's a Friday tune?
Friday. Fridays are big tunes. We go house music.
You like a bit of ELO though, don't you?
Oh, Electric Light Orchestra.
Mm.
Amazing. And the Eagles, another classic. It's very, very Willpower-esque. Probably one of the first music I've heard in the gym.
Not really a house music person on a Friday myself. I don't mind that on a fucking Monday, but come Friday, I like the classics.
It's a constant battle between my uncle and myself with music. There'd be many a row, isn't there, in the gym?
Many a disappointed look from me. I wouldn't say I was rowing, but I was disappointed.
Yeah, well, you can't win them all, can you?
You have put yourself forward as the playlist meister.
Yeah, and I think that's thoroughly deserved as well. I put some good tunes on.
You do? Fair.
I'm very consistent, and occasionally... No, hear me out now. You've got to put something on that you think is going to appeal to the masses. Sometimes...
Not the masses.
Sometimes you've got to do it at the expense of
one
particular individual in the gym.
Not at my expense.
Well, I do. Sometimes I do it, don't I? Sometimes.
Oh, yeah. He does it.
And it can cause quite the dynamic.
I do remember one occasion where I said to you something like, if this persists, everything fucking goes off. And I just walked over to the plug and turned everything off.
That's not entirely true.
Oh.
Because...
That's how I remember it.
No. You said that and you carried on going. You went on and on. And then I walked over to the plug and turned the plug off.
Right.
And you carried on ranting. And then you ranted to a few people in the gym.
I was ranting.
It's fucking tamping. But
I believe this was alto jazz.
Oh, yeah. The fucking... alto saxophone.
Yeah, I remember the song, right? Look it up if you are close to a phone. It's called Chill Factor. It's not jazz. But
fucking jazz.
It was perceived...
It's alto sax jazz, even worse.
Wasn't it? Yeah, well, yeah, you've got
so
a thing about...
So that instrument is banned from the Willpower.
Should we go through the band list?
You can go through the band list.
Right, Oasis.
Fucking awful.
Stereophonics.
Fucking awful.
Alto jazz.
Awful.
Or alto saxophone.
Yep.
Yeah, jazz,
indie, period. Indie.
You don't like country in the
gym? I don't mind country. Johnny Cash, please.
Right, yeah. So, that's an exception, isn't it? There are so many. And there's one particular song which I actually showed Meg the other day, and it's Mad About the Boy. So we had a playlist that just kept running in the gym in its early days, and it consisted of about probably 30 songs, was it?
It was about 50.
50, right. And they're now considered the classic songs of willpower that we try and cling on to. And one of the songs was called Mad About the Boy by, what's her name?
Nina Simone, maybe.
Yeah, and whenever that song started, and it went...
It happened once when somebody was going for a PB lift, you remember? Oh. And it took the fucking wind out of the atmosphere.
I think it was Theo.
And everyone looked over at the fucking stereo in the corner.
Just panic.
And it was just like, whoa, and he missed his lift.
Yeah, so basically, that song quickly became a song that you weren't a fan of.
It wasn't I wasn't a fan of, but I knew it could just fucking wallop the sails out of everybody.
Yeah, it just had that way about it that just killed the atmosphere.
People would gallop across the fucking gym to turn it off.
And Twain has told me that he's been sat at a coffee house and that song has gone on and he's had to leave the coffee house because it made him feel so uncomfortable.
Jordan's referring to Tom Wayne, who has been willpower captain and a very successful willpower trainer.
Yeah.
In his day.
He's a wonderful man.
He's trademarked the cum towel.
Amongst other things.
Which could be on the willpower merchandise. So if you are in need of a cum towel, call Twain.
Coming soon.
There you go.
Nice.
Bubble cum. Lovely. Right. So what's the current willpower playlist? Because it's changed over the years.
It has changed. So we used to do it in themes. So it would be a Monday would be... a Monday just be a normal day, and then a Tuesday would be Funk Tuesdays.
Funky Tuesdays.
Mm. Funk Tuesday, yeah.
And my playlist available on Spotify.
Wolfpack, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm surprised you know that.
Yeah, it's good.
God. That would come on a Tuesday. It's called Raw Doggin' on Spotify.
Raw Doggin'.
Yep. There's also a sort of 80s and 90s rap playlist that we play every now and then called Big Daddy Longhorn.
Not a fan.
Yeah, well, that's why it's quite infrequently.
I'll try and be in my office at that stage because if I'm in the gymnasium proper, sat there, and there's music that is oscillating my concentration, that's what I can't take that.
Yeah.
What they don't appreciate, viewer, is as a coach, I sit there trying to focus on every fucking detail. And if there's some piece of music just disturbing me because it's abhorrent to my nature, I can't focus.
There are two sides of the coin, obviously, in this. That's appreciated. And when he does leave the office, I'm quickly walking over to the music box and uncueing three or four songs that I've teed up that just wouldn't be fit in for...
Sting, he's another banned one.
Yeah.
Morrissey. Jesus. Yeah. There's lots of band. In fact, Dan Wally generally has fucking Oasis playing when he sends me his videos through. I could barely watch him. If you're listening, Dan.
Volume down.
Turn that fucking shit off.
That's, of course, one of our remote athletes.
What do we use on Big Fridays? What's a Big Friday playlist?
There's a playlist called Cum Towel.
Tom Wayne.
Which is the go-to, and that's got a really good mix of you know, just different songs, different genres that all fit into the willpower. And then we've also got a playlist. It's yours actually, Out and About, which is like house music.
Mm. I think I've ever heard that.
Definitely have.
But we've barely spoke, Mike, in fucking 6 years, have we?
There's no need to speak.
That's true.
This is probably the most you spoke, actually.
Fucking right, it is.
Mm.
So what's your tune, Jord? What's the one? If you're gonna go for a fucking big clean and jerk, what's the tune?
Right, so it's probably a choice of two, and they're both from the Tres Hombres album of ZZ Top.
Best album.
Actually, there's three. There would be Lagrange,
yeah,
Tush,
Yeah.
And Precious and Grace.
Fuck. Nice. Big tunes.
And they are whompers, aren't they?
Are they just for Clean and Jerk, or are they for Snatch as well?
I would say I chuck them on for Clean and Jerk. I love squatting to Jimi Hendrix. So when I'm going for big sets of squats, typically put on Machine Gun or just any of his fucking live music.
It's all I can do to leave my fucking clothes on when Jimi Hendrix is playing.
You tend to remind us of your... Yeah.
My chess playing days. When I was a young lad, 21, bollock naked playing chess, Jimi Hendrix on. Fucking great days.
I don't know about you, George.
Yeah.
Go on, Mike.
Go on, Mike. And stop the flow, Mike. Spit it out.
When you're snatching, what sort of music do you feel you'd take to? I prefer something more upbeat, faster pace, faster BPM.
Mike is a fucking fast lifter. And if you have never seen him lift, he's fucking fast.
Pretty fast, isn't he? Yeah.
Pretty fast. Not the fastest, but he's fast. He's
up there.
He's fast.
Up there in the UK. Got to be close.
Yes. Pretty fast. Anyway.
To answer your question, Mike. I think I like somebody a bit more laid back on a snatch, to be honest with you, because otherwise I go too rattled for snatch.
Too red mist.
Yeah, so I like to, you know, if I'm going to go all guns blazing, it's on a clean and jerk. So on a snatch, something like, maybe if I'm going for a PB, something like The Chain, Fleetwood Mac. Oh,
fucking heavy.
You know, I save that one for a few special occasions. Like Nick had a bit of a ding-dong with Brian, and he hit 136 coming back from his PB. We could probably chuck it in somewhere on this. And I put The Chain on there, and it just sends fucking tingles down your spine, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's a few songs that really encapsulate the training environment at Willpower. Early Doors' Call Me the Breeze always sets it up, doesn't it? Everyone warming up, put a Call Me the Breeze on.
Call Me the Breeze, Lay Down Sally.
Yeah.
Bouncy tunes, aren't they?
Yeah. Fucking good fucking grooves. Ooh. On them.
Poke Salad Annie.
Poke Salad. Fuck.
Fuck.
Yeah. That's yep. a sort of after hours one, isn't it? Or in between sessions. Mm. You know, in between Snatch and Clean and Joke, Poke Salad comes on, fucking switches the game up for fucking Clean and Jokes, isn't it?
Yeah, it makes you feel a bit,
yeah,
bit excited about it, doesn't it?
You always remember what song was playing when you hear PB. Always.
That's a very good point. That's, what was that? Do you remember my first 120 off the block and there was a song playing?
Frank Frost.
Yeah.
Yeah, I fucking remember it.
And that was fucking...
Every time that song comes on, I think of that lift. Platform One.
Platform One in the gym. Yeah. Nearest to the shutter doors.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the thing, isn't it? Like, when you do hit a... you know, or when you do experience a moment in the gym, you do associate it to the music that's playing, unless you're listening to the fucking radio or some fucking...
Who does that?
Well, some people do that, don't they?
Who does
that? I bet you train to the radio up in there.
If you're listening, viewer, and you train to the radio, please contact us to be chastised.
Yeah, you need some help, don't you?
Couldn't do that. I think if you were to look back through the history of the Willpower lifting, it would be a very musical affair, wouldn't it? The music is prevalent all the way through. It's like a theme tune.
Yeah.
It's gotta fucking be. Brilliant.
It's so exciting. And that's what I love about putting music on in the gym, is trying to put something on that brings the evening together, because it can make or break a session.
It absolutely does, yeah. Very much so. And more often it's right than wrong. It's fucking always on the ballpark. Midweek, there's a bit of a slippage when you're experimenting. But as an artist, you got to do that. Yeah. But on the banker days, on the big Fridays, just play the classics.
Stick to what you know.
Stick to what you know.
Yeah, I suppose. And you have increasingly given me a bit more leeway with the music through the week.
I've mellowed out, I feel.
I agree. Well, when's the last Barney we've had because of music?
When you recommended karaoke in my fucking bar.
That was a fucking hell. Can we not talk? We'll save that for another fucking podcast, I think.
All right, I'll just say, that was recent.
Yeah, music related, isn't it?
You came in with zeal and zest.
What time was it?
7 a.m.
Yeah.
Fucking burst through the curtain, this one. Fucking got a great idea. I'm fucking sat up. I said, what is it?
Karaoke.
Right. So let me give you my the way it
are we going there?
Yeah.
Oh, let's we're there.
We're going there.
Let's go there.
You brought it there.
Come on, let's go there.
No, I'm just gonna say how it panned out for me. Right. I got in the car.
Yeah.
I felt tired. Yeah. I was driving to the gym, and what song came on? Manic Monday by the Bangles.
Right.
Right. Now, for those who know that song, probably a middle-aged woman.
All right.
Yeah.
You got one in mind?
My mother.
Your mother?
She loves that song, and as do I. And I put it on, and I thought, fucking hell, I would love to do karaoke to this song. And then I thought, hang about, Red Brick, we've just put a telly up, the PA set up. Let's get a karaoke on. So I walk in the gym, burst through the curtain, as you describe it.
You burst.
Said, Uncle, I got an idea, and you were very willing to hear it.
Fucking totally willing.
And then yeah, obviously I said I wanted a karaoke in the gym. And
if it had come on my leg, I wouldn't have been as disappointed. That's how fucking bad that was, that as an idea. Hmm. All right, just to let you know. Moving on.
Right.
Weird, isn't it?
Subject two. Next talking point on the Willpower Weightlifting Podcast is your favourite competition lift. Oh, right.
Was that where Nick should have played music?
No, that's no music there. We're not fucking segueing yet.
All right, okay.
Right. So, Michael.
Yeah.
You made a lot of comp lifts.
Yeah.
You've won a lot of medals.
Yeah.
You represented your country.
Yeah.
The country of Wales, or a principality, and Great Britain. Pick a lift. What's your favourite lift?
For me, it's not a lift.
Well, I've asked for a lift.
Fucking hell. One job.
Right.
One job.
I was carrying on.
Go on.
Anyway,
go on, sorry.
Just go for it. I'll drink.
It was a lift, which is not my heaviest ever lift. It just what I was going to say.
So he was starting a sentence.
It was a percentage lift.
Go for it, Mike.
So, we're in Samoa.
Samoa.
You
are. We're not.
Yeah.
No, you were not there.
We're in Wales.
In the basement.
Yeah.
We're in Samoa. Preceding Samoa, I have not lifted for 2 or 3 weeks. I've maybe snatched for 3 sessions out of, I don't know, 14 training sessions, and I get to the platform and I don't know what sort of form I'm in, what I'm going to hit, what I'm going to open at. It's all up in the air.
What's the competition, Mike? Tell us.
It's the Commonwealth Championships in 2019.
Yeah.
Which was obviously held in Samoa, and I was representing Wales at this event. I opened at 1:15, I believe. Go on the platform. Feel really excited, really pumped, because in the warm-up room, I'm making snatches. I've made snatches for 2-3 weeks. I fly halfway across the world. Well, it's the other end of the world, really. And I'm snatching. It's amazing. So I snatch 90, 100, 105, 110. No steps, no misses. Amazing. Go to the platform, and I miss.
Wow. Miss 15. Your best snatch was 18 at the time, was it?
Yep. Yeah. 18 at the time. So I'm targeting 120 at this comp. I'm thinking 18, or 15, 18, 20. There you go. Pop, pop, pop. And then I have a good shot of a medal. But I go on the platform, and then I miss. And then the preceding that, you as an athlete, you never feel like you're going to open on the platform and then miss. So your world starts crashing down on you. You have this looming dark cloud of self-doubt, and you don't feel good enough to be there. And I feel like it's very important then to get all of that out of your mind and then get ready for the next lift. And what do? Go back on the platform, feel really confident, and then I miss.
Yeah, I was watching in my bed. I put the fucking alarm on. I was watching in my bed. I was like, fuck, come on, Mike.
I felt pathetic.
Yeah.
It was great. But then, next to me, lovely young boy from Nauru.
What did you do, Mike?
I look at him. He looks at me, and he's smiling, because I've just missed twice, and he thinks I'm going to bomb.
Prick. Yeah. No offense, Nuru.
And, well, to be honest, that really riled me up. I thought, I'm sat here with a dragon on my chest. This young man from Nuru.
Ichdin. Yeah.
Yeah. He thinks I'm got a bomb, thinks I'm crap, thinks I'm nobody. I thought, you know what? I'm Welsh, I'm proud, I'm wearing the dragon, let's go.
Fuck.
Fire and passion. That's all I had in me. My coach at the competition was giving these technical cues to which I did not listen to. I didn't need any technical advice. All I needed was try a bit fucking harder.
Try harder.
Because I was lazy. Cue. I was lazy twice. It's not good enough. So I walk out on the platform, absolutely smoke it, lift my arms in the air and say, what the fuck? There we go. That was my favourite lift.
Christ, you got red-lighted in willpower for that. Right.
How
wow.
The fuck do I follow that?
Well.
That was I got fucking rattled listening to that.
That was fucking awesome.
Christ.
Yeah, Mike's got fucking adrenaline going through his body. You don't feel cramped now, do you, Mike?
No, I'm sweating. I feel something.
Yeah, fuck, these boys have finished training just now and fucking Mike was cramping before the fucking show. Wow. Geordie, follow it.
Well. fuck. I'm not quite going to be as cinematic as you there, Mike. I'm just going to be brief to the point.
That's okay.
My favorite lift was probably my first 160 kilo clean and jerk at 16 years old to win my first Welsh seniors.
I remember this.
Oh, yeah. That's a fucking lift.
And I'm saying this, I was thinking of saying my 146 snatch for GB. However, this one does trump it in terms of emotion and just a huge milestone at such an early time in my career. And you and I were both pretty fucking rattled when
we if you've ever seen two bulls go together head to head, I fucking headbutted him. I can't recall what I said. Do you remember what I said?
No.
I looked him in the fucking eyes and tears were fucking streaming. He was crying, I was fucking crying, and he went out.
I think you won gold.
I did, yeah.
By a kilo.
You know, it's like, fuck me.
16.
The amount of emotion going through then, my best clean and jerk before then was
153.
Yeah. Yeah. And this one, I had a fucking mare of a snatch session. I made, I missed my first two snatches, Mike, similarly to you, at 110. Nice. Oh no, 115.
115, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there we are. Yeah. And made the third snatch. And the boys, the two other lads, is Theo and Josh, Theo Morgan and Josh Parry, I was competing against. And I think Josh was up 10 kilos above me.
Yeah, I think Theo was in the lead after snatches.
Yes.
And then he did what Theo does. Old Theo would fuck around with his cleaner jerks and end up fucking spitting two out the fucking back door.
Mm-hmm.
And then Josh was on fucking fire that day, wasn't he?
He was lifting very, very
yeah,
well.
He was.
And he hit 57.
Yeah.
On his third lift, or it was 58.
58, yeah.
And it was like, right, well, we've got to put 60 on. We have to. It was probably in the back of our minds anyway, but that sort of pushed us into, you know, needing to put the weight on the bar to win.
Yeah.
And, you know, lifting for your club with your uncle and you're locking horns, and the amount of adrenaline going through your body at that time, just fucking incredible. It was mental. And, yeah. And I think that's been difficult to top since, you know. And there are loads of lifts I've thoroughly enjoyed through competing and everything, but I think that one will always stand out, being my first 160, you know, broke the Welsh records and British records and did it for my club as well. And it was a wonderful moment.
Gold by a kilo on the last lift.
Yeah. What more do you want?
What more do you want? Just as a point of reference, Mike, didn't you win silver?
By 1 kilo.
And you beat the kid from Nauru?
Yeah, it was the Nauru, yep, for the silver medal.
There you go. Good lesson. Well, my favourite lift of yours, Michael, is the opening 100 kilo snatch in Malaysia.
Oh, yeah.
How much time we got, Nick? 2 minutes? All right. So we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back with this one just after this. Right, stop it. Go straight in because I'm fucking smoking.
In the interest of your well-being, viewer, we are going to put forward a series of video graphs that will highlight all of the aspects of the remote athlete. So, firstly, who is a Willpower remote athlete? They could be an athlete from a different country, from this country, one that may have been lifting for some years, and they may be at a plateau, a stage at which none of their training is elevating. Those are the athletes that we serve the best. It could be that you need a different perspective, a different set of eyes to guide you along the development path. When you're at this point, it may well be very disheartening for you as a experienced lifter that finds it frustrating not to be increasing your snatch, your clean and jerk, your back squat, whatever part of the lifting cycle you're at. Over the years at Willpower, we have helped many athletes increase their competition total, elevating their potential through carefully structured developmental cycles. Gaining access to the Willpower remote athlete team is easy. All you need to do, viewer, is to fill out the extensive application form. Write in a full description of what weightlifting means to you and why you should be accepted onto the Willpower remote athlete weightlifting team.
And we're back. So we left you on tenterhooks. We didn't leave you, just spoke fucking 10 seconds ago. Anywho, my favorite lift of yours, Michael,
yeah,
was the 100 kilo snatch that you made as your opening attempt in Malaysia,
yeah,
in Penang, I think it was, where I think you'd made that lift once in training.
Well, first comp under Willpower, wasn't it?
Was no, it was
second.
It was no, he didn't make it in. He made it in training. He didn't make it. The Malaysian comp was for Wales, lifting in the World Championships group,
yep,
wasn't it?
Yep.
So that was it was an odd anomaly where the World Championships and the Commonwealth Championships were run at the same time in the same venue, and that was an incredible experience. And your training, you just come to Willpower a few months before. You lifted for GB in Poland, I believe,
yep,
where I think you snatched 93.
Yeah, 93.
Yeah, and it was. We'd done some good training. We'd worked on some areas of, potential. A few gaps. We plugged a few gaps.
I believe all we did was pause at knee.
Yeah. We plugged a few gaps. Anywho. And then you made 100 kilos in training before we left for Malaysia. I think Donnie was around, wasn't he?
Yeah, in front of Shankle.
Shankle was 100. Here. Yeah, Donnie was here. And Jordan was injured. So you were going through wrist injury. Coming back from training, Mike was on fire, Rod was on fire. So we took three youth lifters to that competition. And then we had a discussion. And I said, you're going to open at 100.
It wasn't a discussion.
Well,
discussions.
I think Mike used to just sit and listen back in those days.
Yeah.
Just sat and listened. And he was going out at 100. And I recall there was a little bit of doubt from a few. That didn't matter to me.
Many.
Many. So why that was that lift was significant was when I was in the back room with you and we were warming up for that comp, you half believed because I believed,
yep,
and you half didn't believe because you were having other people telling you different stories. And so I'm looking at his eyes as he's warming up, and I think your warm-up went pretty well.
Yep.
Yeah. And you go out there and you fucking smoke it. And the person who went on the platform wasn't the person who came off the platform. Suddenly your eyes changed and belief was just at fucking maximum.
So for reference, this was my third or fourth ever competition.
Yeah.
And it happened to be the World Championships.
Yeah. It was big. So but you come off that
curve.
You came off that platform and then you made another lift, 103.
Yeah.
Yeah, which you fucking smoked. And then you went out at 105.
105.
It was close, 105.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was, for me, that was the lift that that allowed you to access belief and potential and put the two together, knowing that it doesn't matter what's on the bar. You know, if you do the training and you do the work, you will make the lifts. And so that lift was for a young man lifting 100 kilos who's only ever lifted it once before, in a huge competition, which was very well run, very well populated. All the nations were there, and you had the Welsh vest on, and you go out and you fucking smoke it. It's fucking incredible.
For me, this is where the coach-athlete relationship really became apparent and became a thing. You believed I could hit 100K on the platform.
I fucking knew it. No doubt. Zero.
And I had doubts. My other external coaches had doubts. My dad had doubts.
Julian.
Yes. And there was that much belief that it was all instilled within me, and you knew I was going to make it. So I knew I was going to make it. And since then, there's been this level of trust. And if you say X is going to happen, X is going to happen. And I don't question that. There's no need to, because the proof's in the pudding.
Has it never not happened?
No, never.
Never. So, yeah, that was a good lift. And, you know, that in fact, that competition where you were in the Commonwealth Championships and you missed out on bronze by, I think it was it body weight or a kilo?
It was a kilo.
It was a kilo.
And we jumped to, made 25. We had to jump to 130, which I've never pulled before.
Yeah.
And I cleaned it.
Yeah.
And almost jerked it. And there's an image.
You almost died, actually, Mike.
Oh, my knees caved in.
Yeah.
I was red in the face.
Yeah.
My back caved. Oh, but I popped out ready for the jerk, put it above my head, and it just slips out in front. And there's a picture of me failing, the bars out in front. I've got my back knees dropped, so you know I was close to making it.
Yeah.
And you're in the background, leaning back, willing it to go back, and it's
just out in front. It was fucking brilliant, though.
That would have been the lift for a bronze medal.
Yeah. And then, you know, roll on 4 years, of course, when you come back and you win the silver medal.
Yeah.
You know, and again, you're up against some stiff competition. Those boys didn't make their lifts. But you got to make lifts in competition and learn how to be a very high percentage snatcher in competition. That's very important, I feel. You know, both of you go out fucking hot. No one goes out low 90s. You always go out 97% and above. And you have to do that, I feel, in snatches. And for you, Jord, it's the same lift. It's that 160. You know, that moment, again, there was doubt from nobody thought you'd make it. Not one fucking person in the room thought you'd make it. But we knew you'd fucking make it. And we just fucking locked horns, cried some tears, and the fucking lift went up. It was incredible. And as soon as it got on your shoulders, there was no doubt. Fucking wallop, that front foot goes out. Whoosh, jerk. Done.
Amazing video.
Fucking great video.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen the video, I threw my arms out in the air afterwards, and you simultaneously do the same, and we don't, not planned,
just fucking standing there, like Jesus on the top of Brazil or whatever that mountain is.
There's an image of both of us with our arms out as if to say, fucking come on, go on.
Come on then, let's fucking have it. Yeah, fucking great.
Yeah, no, good times. That's what weightlifting is all about, isn't it? You know,
passion on the platform.
So now I'm going to open up my laptop because we've got a special here. I've got to put the password in. There we are. There it is. The third segment of the show is called Would St. David Qualify to Become a Willpower Member? And this episode is going out on St. David's Day. And we asked the question, would Dewi Sant become a Willpower Member? Now, I've got a little bit of background on Dewi de Vroer, David the Waterman, as he was known. Apparently, he would stand in freezing cold water and do his reciting psalms in a cold fucking river.
Now, what did he wear?
A loincloth, I presume. Whatever they fucking wore in 500 AD. Like, that's an impressive thing. We all do cold water. And he stood there and did fucking psalm recitals in the cold water. He encouraged Welsh soldiers to wear the leek, to differentiate them, to make them different. He was an early brander. So, like the leak, the green and white became the red and black of the day. Isn't it? So he's got a few things going for him. Says here that his vouch would be God Almighty. Some angels.
That's a pretty fucking good vouch, isn't it?
It's a fucking heavy vouch. I don't know if God turns up in my office to fucking vouch for people, but Dewi Sant would have God as his voucher. Has his own flag and cult, apparently. And he made the leek the symbol. He was a teacher, preacher, bishop, archbishop, saint. Fucking hell. But he was a bit of a fucker, I think. He didn't like people who didn't do as they were told. So he had a very high standard. Like,
are you about to compare yourself to Dewi Sant?
Is he coming in to train or is he going to be the coach? I don't know. What's his role here? Yeah. So what do you reckon, boys? He was a miracle worker, most famous for elevating the ground beneath his feet so he could propel himself high so people could see him. Mm. He had a lot of belief. So belief is the first principal quality at willpower weightlifting. You know, and I think we can forgive him a little bit for being such a fucking, you know. He made people plow the ground without cattle, without beasts. So you had to pull the plows yourself as men.
And he forced people to do that, or he empowered people to do that?
Well, I think in 500 AD, it was called force. You don't think you had a choice if you were some kind of Welsh peasant.
Right, fair enough.
You know, waltzing up to the monastery or wherever it was that he fucking hung out in St. David's, ploughing fields, pulling the plough yourself.
And that's the problem I'd have with Dewi Sant.
What problem, John?
Well, you know, George, fucking, George, do this, George, do that. No, Dewi, I'm not doing it.
No, I think the whole point was that you submitted your life to one thing, a bit like a weightlifter.
Right, yeah. Oh, I can see that.
So the metaphor here isn't that you're being told to snatch and clean and jerk. You come in the gym wanting to clean and jerk, and I believe his followers wanted to pull the plow. He didn't eat meat. I know.
Vegan. God.
Like all those qualities, and he was a vegetarian. Didn't believe in meat or beer or mead. I think it was called back in those days.
Eating the corn, was he?
Not sure he had corn, but he would eat vegetables, bread with salt. I've got his diet here somewhere. But he would eat bread and salt, vegetables, water, no alcohol or mead or beer, and no meat.
No booze or meat?
No, and he resisted pleasures of the flesh.
So he's boring.
Not fucking?
No fucking.
So no fucking, no meat,
nope,
and no booze?
Correct.
A boring, right. Boring fella.
Well, he was a miracle worker, and he did create, you know, the flag and the leak and all the rest of it.
Yeah, I'm sure he was a stand-up bloke, and
we do have vegetarians in the gym.
We do, yeah. No, we're not prejudiced in that sense. And yeah, like I've got the utmost respect for Dewi Sant, but would I get on with him? Probably not.
I think you would cause too much carnage in the gym.
It'd be an alpha clash. And
what? There's not an alpha clash now.
No, true. But yeah, but he's got too much alpha, isn't he? Like he's die alpha.
He's God, mate. You can't one up God.
Well, he can. Should we not go down the God route?
I'm not going down God route. Mike's brought God in. All I'm saying is, would he become a willpower member with those qualities? I like the fact that he stands in a ice cold river preaching. Like, I do that. That's what I do.
Would you get on with him?
Not sure. I think I'd respect him. I'd probably tell him to go and open his own fucking gym.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. You know.
So, I think, Dewi, if you're listening up there in heaven or wherever it is you reside now with God and the angels, we'd have to say, see you on the platform. Open up your own gym.
Open a gym.
Open up the green and white.
Green.
Yeah.
We'll stay red and black.
Yeah, let's have it. He'd probably do a job on us, wouldn't he? But let's give it a go.
Great topic. Right. I've got a couple of supplementals. I'm going to talk about the weigh-in. Why is it important to be bollock naked in the weigh-in?
Oh, can I start this?
Start it.
Right, I got a funny story, and it involves Michael.
I know exactly what this is.
Yeah, so...
All right. I don't even know this story.
Oh, fucking hell. So this is the first time Mike and I met.
Ever, yeah.
Is this story, right? And
well, school's 2015.
Yeah. So...
Remember it well.
Basically, I got... We were waiting to get weighed in, and they were weighing us in two or three at a time. You know, it was a schoolboy competition in Pembrokeshire, was it?
Yes, it was. Halford West.
And they said, Jordan Sackers, Roger Bynan, Michael Farmer. And they called the three of us into the weighing room. And I think I was the first to be weighed in. So they said, George, just, you know, chuck us your ID and everything, blah, blah, blah. And then I proceeded to strip off, bollock naked. You know, and there were no curtains.
How old are you then?
15.
15.
But they probably expect, they wouldn't have expected that off anyone, you know, man, woman or child. And I derobed and went down to the flesh, stood on the scales, and bear in mind, I was probably well under at the time, you know.
And you were fucking ripped them.
Yeah, I was shredded. And I then turned around, walked up to Mike, shook his hand, and introduced myself naked. And that's how we met, isn't it?
I remember the words, like, but.
So, yeah, that's how Mike and I met, was in, my in you know, one of your first comps, isn't it?
My first ever competition, I weighed in at 59.9 kilos. I was 15 or 16, and I have seen...
Lifting in the 77s, we might. Wow.
This naked man, well, boy.
You saw my piece. You saw my piece early doors.
He saw his piece.
He had a lot of hair. He had a lot of hair.
He was very hairy for a 15-year-old boy.
Very hairy. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, so, right, I suppose we should go on to why I did that and why it is important to weigh in naked.
Why, George?
Because it fucking shows everyone what you're all about. And
it does show everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Literally and mentally, you know, like, I remember doing it in Samoa, and I stood there on the scales, bollock naked, and it's like, all right, lads, I've got a bit about me. Let's see what you've got in the tank. And I think that's what it does, isn't it? It puts your mark down. It says, right, lads, we're going to war in about 2 hours, and I'm fucking up for anything.
Fucking right.
So let's go. Let's go. Let's see what you've got, you know, because you're going to weigh in your boxer shorts.
Cock and balls, baby.
You know, they're too big for you. I'm going to weigh in skin and flesh.
In your Ralph and Lauren's. Yeah.
I think I have a few times. Theo and I weighed into the last Welsh competition in a T-shirt and nothing else. And we called it, we Winnie the Pooh'd it. And we did that in our last comp. And that was hilarious. Everyone was just like, what the fuck are these boys up to? You know, we literally stripped off. And people probably thought, you know, oh fuck, they're going to go naked. You know, they've taken their bottoms off, taken their pants off, their socks off. But no, the Willpower T-shirt remained.
Nice.
And we Winnie the Pooh'd it. And yeah, it just puts a bit of a mark down. Have you done it before, Mike? Or
I've never Winnie the Pooh'd.
No, have you ever weighed in naked?
Oh yeah, every comp.
Good lad.
You learned the lesson there, Mike.
I feel like it was influenced by being scarred as a young 15-year-old boy.
Yeah.
But it got in my head then. So I thought, well, it's going to get in everyone else's head.
Fucking right.
It's where the competition begins, is the weigh-in room.
So begins there.
First time you see your competitors, you've seen their name on the list for months, you meet eyeing them up, reading about them, looking at their Instagrams, and then you finally see them.
And if the first time you see them in the flesh is with their cock out, you know.
Nothing left then, is it?
No. And if your cock's impressionable, you know.
Even better.
Even better, isn't it? It's like, fucking hell, that's going to be in their head. Your head's going to be in their head.
Fucking right.
The whole time.
Got a bit of bulge on. That's it.
Yeah, you know, and if you can take the seconds to shake it about, get a bit of life into it, then I would strongly advise you do that.
Good tip.
It gets cold in Bangor, and, you know, giving a bit of life into it beforehand is worthwhile.
Any weightlifting competition, not just Bangor. right. That's a great segue. The next one, viewer, is for you. And it's called Rinse My Lift. It gives you the opportunity to send us a lift where we, or whoever's hosting the show, me and others, will review your lift on air live. We won't be generous.
We're doing that now.
We're not doing it now. We're going to, this is, I'm telling him, send a fucking lift in for the next show.
Right, right, yes, please. Sorry, this is our first podcast, as I'm sure you're aware.
I've introduced it as episode one. Everyone knows it's the first fucker.
Yes.
All right, so this is their opportunity to send us a lift and we'll review it.
We'll rinse it.
Well, review /rinse. If you don't take critique well or straight talking observations, don't send it in.
Or send it in and try and grow as an individual.
Correct. If it puts you in discomfort, send it in. So that's that. You can send that to the Willpower email, which is Willpower Weightlifting. What is an email thing? At Willpower Weightlifting?
We can overdub that.
What is it?
We'll overdub.
All right. You can send it to train@willpowerweightlifting.com. I think that's our email. Or willpowerweightlifting@gmail.com. Or you can send it via the Instagram.
Yeah,
probably. Something like that. It'll get there. We've got plenty of apps and stuff out there on the world. Great. Right. Today's drink sponsor is Hendrix Gin. Thanks, Hendrix. Great. The final item on my list is, if you can do it, why don't you do it? Now, this refers, viewer, to the lifters who perhaps make a training attempt. Let's say you're snatching 80% and you miss it, or you are unbalanced, and then suddenly the next time you're in balance or you make the lift. Very infuriating for a coach to see a lifter perform substandard. If you can do it, why don't you do it? Michael, it's been you in the past.
Yes.
Hasn't it?
Probably a few times a week. The same sentence would be shouted through the office door. It would be a...
That's my window, by the way.
If you can do it, why don't you do it?
Correct. Like, I know they can fucking do it, so something has gone awry. There's some disconnect in your mental preparedness in order for you to execute properly. Because when do you need it, Mike? Opening snatch. That's when you fucking need it. That's when you need it. That's what you're practicing for. Make that fucking opening snatch. And so any lifters, not just Michael, this is, I see it all the time. Lifters who don't execute percentage lifts on the fucking dot, apply the standard every single time. Jordy, what's your recollection of, if you can do it, why aren't you doing it?
Yeah, I think it's a key thing to take. You know, you can't do something really, really well and then do it shit the next time, or the inverse, and not be held accountable, because the standard is the utmost important thing in
your training. Yeah.
And you know, I think a good way of looking at it is, if you can do a before and after video in a session, you know, with one exercise, and film a snatch and it'd be shit, film another snatch and it'd be really good, it's the same weight, and you could claim on Instagram that you've done them 2 weeks apart, then you're a fucking waste of time. You need to sort it out and address the issue.
I'm lost. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Right, well, that made sense in my head. Probably makes sense to a few people.
Somebody would film two snatches in one session and broadcast them 2 weeks apart?
Let me explain my point there, right? You've got three singles at 90%, let's say.
I understand that.
Yeah. The first one is you've been folded like a deck chair, you've lifted really badly, blah, blah, blah. The second one, you nail, and it's bob on. Yeah, which is where the, if you can do it, why didn't you do it?
Correct.
Is applicable. Now, if you have the ability to play that first snatch and then play the second snatch and then say, I've put 3 weeks of work in and this is the result, then that's not good. Does that make sense?
Not at all.
Not really.
I'm fucking lost. Mike, do you understand what he's talking about?
Yes, but no.
Right, okay. Well,
thanks. Is that like your opening sentence? It's a lift, but it's not a lift.
I think what he's trying to say is you're not trying hard enough.
I know they're not fucking trying hard enough. That's what I'm fucking saying.
But it's different from the first lift to the second lift. Why is it different?
Correct. That's my question all the time. What's going on? Why can you not do it? I think the important point here, viewer, is that you have within you the capabilities of focusing to the degree with which the standard should be applied. And the craft of being an international weightlifter, high-level weightlifter, is having that standard every single time up to the point whereby your fatigue levels are commensurate with the training percentage. So, for example, if you're in a very heavy strength block and suddenly there's a 90% snatch, you can take a miss at that because, you know, your legs may be dead and it may well be that 87% is available that day and not 90%, and so on and so forth. But really, everything that's underneath that should be absolutely nailed the whole time. There should be no steps, no imbalances. Remember that, what was that training cycle where you, two of you, no steps in training for months? Yeah, everything
that
was imbalanced.
Pre-Samoa. Me and John sat down in Starbucks, said to ourselves, right, let's put some money on the line. We're not going to... Well, we were coming back and forth. We were like, right, let's not miss a lift, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, well, we're not going to go on a training cycle and miss anyway. It's very rare that we do miss in training because our percentages shouldn't allow that with periodized training. There's no reason you should be missing a 90% snatch. And that, on that day, you wouldn't be programmed 90% snatch if you're going to miss it. So we thought, right, let's apply some standards. What is the ultimate standard in our gym, in Willpower? I think it's taking a step. So you're like, right, put some money on the line.
Not taking a step. Landing in complete balance and displaying balance from start to finish.
So for a whole training cycle, we lifted the same bar. And bearing in mind, George's a 105, I'm a 67 weightlifter at the time. They're very different weights. Mm. But we can apply the same standard. And well, the standard was, you take a step, you're out.
Yeah, and I think, and it was good then, because although Mike and I are very different weight categories, we're creating a competitive environment and we're creating a competitive dynamic between each other. And the competition was who can lift to a better standard day in, day out. And I took the first step, wasn't it?
I went back up north and Justin rang me. He said, it's happened.
Must have been 3-4 weeks in.
Oh, it's probably longer than that, you know.
Yeah, it was probably like six weeks in. And I took a step and, you know, it was an occasion. It was like, fuck, you know. And that's brilliant. We set the bar extremely high.
The whole gym fed off that, wasn't it? That everyone's standard was high. It was a very intense period of training where every platform was applying very good standards. Mm. It flooded all through the atmosphere. The tunes were fucking smoking. It was such a good period of training. And of course, when the international lifters are training for international competition, it elevates the excitement levels from the other trainers as well. And it just led for very intense, applied, high standard performance all the way through the training cycles. It was excellent. So that's the importance of the, if you can do it, why aren't you doing it? Segment, viewer, thank you very much. And I think it's time to conclude. George, how was your first experience of the broadcasting?
Yeah, it was thoroughly enjoyable. Are we doing the regulars or am I out?
It's going to be once a month. Once a month.
Is it you and two others or is it us two and one other?
I'm making it up as I go along. I'm fucking
right. Well, I'll put it out there now so that it's on air. I'd like to be a part of this all the time. So if we can both do it all the time, that'd be brilliant. But, you know, if I'm not here next month, you know what's happened. I've been hoofed.
He's come on me leg.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll see.
Or he's brought fucking karaoke into the bar. Mike, what about you? Enjoyed yourself?
Yeah, I think it's great. I love sharing my experiences and I hope that someone can get something from it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure somebody will. Great. Well, play us out, Nick. Thanks for coming along to the first Willpower broadcast, episode 1.
Ta-da!